Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. We're your destination for concrete landscaping blocks. Whether you're installing a patio or adding a new retaining wall, we have the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Plus, get free estimates fast using our landscape design program in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on landscape blocks when you shop at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Well, that was a very mixed round of footy. Some big scores and some very, very low scores. In fact, some as low as they go, with some donuts appearing on our field. We're going to review it all and talk about what to do next with our fantasy teams. Let's go!
Just done it from nowhere.
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And I like to eat donuts, and I am joined, as always, by the coach of the Mighty Oxlongs, Luke Rogerson. How are you today, mate?
Good. I'm sporting a bit of a headache at the moment, and I think it's got to do with my fantasy team. There is a lot going on, like you said, in the intro, and not all of it good, unfortunately.
No, it was a very eventful round in terms of some ceiling scores. I think there could have been on the weekend some big separations between teams that did really well and maybe missed a few bullets, and teams that just copped all of it. So there could have been some big moving and shaking in the ranks this week. Let's start with how our teams went. How did you perform on the weekend, and how did it affect your overall rank?
Very, very poorly, unfortunately. 20-33, which is well below par, and the rank doubled. So I went from inside the top 1,000 to out now at 16-56, which is, this is probably, the math behind this is probably all out, but it feels like it's on the weeks that you slide, it happens so easily.
Yeah.
And then the weeks that you climb,
you move
up just a little bit.
Yeah.
It's fucking killer. Yeah, but still, I mean, hard to complain. So inside the top 2K, there's a lot of coaches that are battling more than that. So I'll take my medicine and move on.
Yeah, yeah. I did a little bit better, surprisingly, despite the fact having a zero on my field for the first time in, I want to say, at least 3 to 4 seasons. But I had the 21-04. It moved me up to a little 1,000 ranks. So I'm now gone from 8,500 to 7,500. So probably would have liked to have done more. I felt like I could have been in for a big week with a couple of glaring, obvious, players that just dragged the rest of the group down with them. So, very frustrating in some certain areas. And yes, the general cash jam for my team is looking very, very concerning. But let's head over to the Camel of the Week award, badge, because we have our sights set on one particular redhead this week.
I don't even have the energy for dancing today. It's all bad, but this was particularly bad.
Oh, well, look, I didn't know this, and watching the performance, I would have said that the way he went about this particular role was camel-like, because he was still looking for it. But the fact that Clayton Oliver said that he put his hand up to the coach. He went to the coaches this week or the past week and said, look, guys, I want to play the defensive role. Put me on John Newcomb. I'm going to lock him down. That is as camel as they come.
You don't get more humpy than that.
No.
That's hump, Phil.
He put his hand up to say, I want to score less points this week. And that's hard because he didn't play last week. So going into this round, I thought it was a very great hold. I was happy to have him back on my side after only missing a week. His worst score was like 85 on the season. And if that's your worst score, 81, sorry, against Freo. If that's your worst score so far for the season, I'm happy with that. You can sit on my field. You're better than a rookie. Next minute, he's a tagger, or it wasn't even a tag because he was still looking for the footy. Players just didn't want to kick it to him because he'd already put his hand up and said, I don't want the footy earlier in the week. So
I can't really recall a bigger fall from grace than what Clayton Oliver's had over the last two seasons. And I don't, like, correct me if I'm wrong, Melbourne fans, of course, but when you look at the stat sheet and you see names like Bowie, Langford, these kind of guys are like the top scoring names in your team. Is that where you want to be as Melbourne? Like, I want to see Petrarca, Gawn, Viney, Oliver, like, When they won their premiership in 2019, was it?
No, that was Richmond, mate. 2021?
2021, yeah, sorry, we were 2020. Yeah. These were not the names we were seeing at the top of the score sheet.
No,
yeah.
I mean, look, you look at the highest disposal getters, like...
That's pretty rough.
Okay, Bowie, 28, he's actually not too bad. Petrarca, he's your gun, but Caleb Windsor, Harvey Langford, Trent Rivers, Ed Langdon... Like, you have to scroll so far down to find Clayton Oliver. And like you said, like, 13 touches for Clayton Oliver. 13 touches.
Yeah, they're playing a little bit different, but I
rewind
don't know if I like
2 years
it.
Ago, he is one of the best players in the competition. And he is a shell of himself. And it's, one of the biggest fall from graces I've seen.
All right, let's go to the opposite end of the spectrum.
Let's be positive.
Bang.
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Absorbent in yellow and porous is he?
SpongeBob
SquarePants. Who is our sponge?
This man is probably... I'll put up... If we have a vote for a sponge of the year, I think this guy deserves it because Bailey Smith is... He doesn't have another mode. He doesn't have another mode except for just rack it up in any way possible. Get marks, get tackles, get possessions. This man... is now the highest averaging player in the competition, averaging 119. One game below 100 of the 84 against Hawthorn.
He might try harder to score than Nick Dacos. Dacos have had a down game on the weekend, but they both try hard, but he is taking it to another level.
He has the hunger and drive that Dacos does without the attention that Dacos gets every single week. And that is resulting in a potential 120-plus season. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago I started with this guy on my side. This is what I saw. This kind of like hunger and ability to just rack it up. He tackles, he marks. This is why I started him. And this is if like it's unlikely that someone keeps up 119 average season. But if anyone could do it, I think Bailey Smith can do it because
it's crazy.
Yeah, he just gets it done and still doesn't quite draw the attention of other teams, players, attackers.
Let's keep the rant.
And the winner. Of the Norm Smith Medal.
You're an embarrassment to what you do, mate. You're an embarrassment.
Wogs and Flogs. We started on Thursday night with the Pies taking on the Dockers. Who was our bog in that one?
Well, there was a couple of defenders we could have given to, but no, we're going to go with Andrew Brayshaw, who bounced back. He had a very poor game the week before, but bounced back with an awesome game, kicked a goal, 34 touches. He had 25 handballs of that 34, but still had, I think that's an equal high marks with 5 and 5 tackles, 119. He's having a great season from a footy perspective and is doing pretty well for fantasy averaging. 106, which is up from his starting price. Not quite as high as we would have hoped, but he is having a good season.
Flogging this one. Have you put Josh Dacos here? Surely not.
I have put Josh Dacos because this Dacos, he doesn't have the excuse of getting tagged. 70 points and you're just chilling off the half back line. What's your excuse? I know Nick was getting tagged and had a hip issue and went full forward and nearly outscored him. He was 3 points less. So Josh... What's going on, mate? You've been a trade target the last couple of weeks. Disappointing. Very disappointing.
Hey, Mitch is harsh. St Kilda and Carlton played on Friday night, and Big Roma, could he be back?
Yeah, I think he could be back. Time on ground was very high, 89%.
Which is good, and this would... I think if you're trying to buy the dip, this is probably the week. He's about as close to rock bottom as I think you're going to get.
Coming up against the West Coast Eagles, I dare say he might feature in the big boys this week. The flog for me is Ross the Boss Lyon because this guy, he sucks for fantasy coaches. Full sucks.
The full suck.
He if he could play with 20 players, I think he would.
He's just got to stop lying to us.
He hates putting his players on the field. Oh, lying. Yep. Nice. But listen to this. Collard, 13% time on ground.
Ooh.
Hugh Boxall, 49%
in a full game.
On ground, in a full game. Why bother? What are we doing here? Why is he playing so few minutes? Mateus Philippou, 70%, zero CBAs.
Well, that leads into the second flog for the game, because the second flog is me. It's outright me. So I've traded in a 650K 20-year-old full forward. That was my upgrade this week.
Yeah.
That was my upgrade this week. And that's on me.
We did speak about it at the beginning of the year. Beginning of the week. I went cold towards the end of the week.
Yeah, and last week I'll say I didn't do as much research as I should have in terms of just playing around with my team, and I kind of went, okay, yeah, look, we're gonna bring in Philippou. But why the fuck did I do that? There was always a huge chance that he was not gonna go straight back into the midfield. And even if he had, he was still somewhat of a speculative pick because we'd only seen it for a little bit. So
You're going to wear the flog here.
Oh, I'm going to wear it. And I could look back at this trade and go, that was the point in the season where I fucked it up. Because now I haven't traded in. Let's say I would have had to bend over backwards to get in, like, let's call it a Chad Warner last week or something like that. But I would have felt better that he's actually a guy that can stick around as a top six
next
forward.
Next week he could pop a good score.
Whereas I'm in the boat now where I may as well not have made trades last week.
Yeah, like I would be in your situation looking to maybe loop that position still. In terms of
it's fucking horrific.
Confidence with him and his role.
Move on. Fuck that shit.
Okay, let's move on to Melbourne versus Hawthorn. I'm still mad at this man because this pick has been probably one of the picks of the season so far, but Jake Bowie gets the best on ground. Another big, big score for him, 109.
He fucking saved it too.
He was on a poor score early, wasn't he?
Fuck me.
Yeah, and just...
I hate all these good players that I didn't
such,
pick.
Like Melbourne's game style, chip, chippity, chip. I don't know. Again, we'll ask the Melbourne fans, is this how you want to play? I don't think it's how a good team would play.
It sucks,
but
ass,
in the meantime, Jake Bowie is absolutely making the most of it, and 109 points for someone who, you paid much less than that is a good return. So, shout out to anyone who has Jake Bowie in their fantasy side.
Clary and Simon Goodwin can have the flog in that one for reasons as mentioned above.
It's let's go and park our Ferrari in the hailstorm while we put our... Honda Civic just like in the garage, and
Jake Bowie's probably the Ferrari with the red nut.
Yeah.
Let's go to Essendon and Sydney. Now, the bog in this game, Zach Reid, but we were losing our minds in the first quarter of this, because for anyone who watched our live show on Friday, somebody asked a question, who should I trade first, Zach Reid or Riley Bice? And Mitch and I had a difference of opinion. Mitch said, trade Riley Bice. He's got a high break even. He's got money on his head. And we went back and forth, and I said, no, Bice is a gun. You must keep Bice. You can trade Reid in this scenario. And after about
one
15
quarter.
Minutes into this game, Reid had 50 points, and I think Bice had six or something.
He had
so,
eight at quarter time. And
Reid
had the 50-point quarter. So
I very much hope that you went with Mitch's advice.
Zach Reid, 118. 14 marks. He was everywhere in that first half, especially.
This is just Essendon defenders.
Essendon defenders. I mean, we could have given, like, Nick Martin, 141. McGrath, 125. Jackson Pryor, 115. Mason Redmond, 108.
Fuck.
They had six defenders go 108 or more. That is absolutely absurd. The flog in this one, I've given it injuries, specifically the ACL injury suffered by Lewis Hayes, because he looked good.
He did. And I mean, fantasy aside, like, poor fucking bloke. He looked good. He's come in for his debut, and now he's going to sit out for 12 months or so.
Yeah, that breaks your heart. Yeah,
I mean, it kills us as fantasy coaches, but poor.
Yeah,
poor
I could bastard. Also, I could also give the flog. Sydney were horrid in this game, especially that first half. It was absolutely awful.
Chad Warner was one of your big trade targets in terms of forwards for the week.
He had like 12 at quarter time.
You were copping a bit of flack at quarter time.
Yeah, but some people were a bit upset that I recommended to trade him in.
We got to wait. He actually had 77 points in the following three quarters, which, I think you're hoping for a better score against Essendon, but
he scored exactly what he was priced at. So.
In a game where they got pantsy.
Yeah, but Sydney just, they did not look interested in that first half at all. And I expected a bit better of a showing against a vulnerable target in Essendon. But let's move on to Suns versus Bulldogs.
Up in Darwin for this one. And yeah. I've given the bog to Matt Kennedy. He's on a ton run of four games, lowest of those being a 107. And even across the course of the season, he's averaging 98 now. So he was
a bit of an unsung hero.
Yeah, he was fairly expensive, but the Bulldogs are playing well, and it seems as though Matt Kennedy's reaping the rewards as well. So
yeah, only one score below 89 in round two.
Yeah. So he's pretty.
He was one of your guys in the preseason.
He was. I don't know whether it would have been a great pick because he was a little more expensive, but you know, some of the guys we're dealing with there now, maybe you would have.
I think, yeah, I mean, hindsight 2020, he would have been a good pick. Whether he's a good pick now is to be decided.
2025, I was thinking. But the flog in this one is just moistness. I didn't really have a flog, but just a little general moistness up there for Tim English on the hands. Only the three marks. So yep. Just a bit of slippage and, you know, it probably knocked a little bit of ceiling off the big Englishman.
Look, I've learned as a coach that Tim English thrives on positive feedback. So I'm going to go the other way and say, like, I know it's a 92, it's not really what you expect, but against Wits, that is the best score against Jared Wits so far this entire season. So for Tim English in a tough matchup, I'm going to say, look, well done, Big Llama. Let's back it up with another 120 next week. Because yes, I know my players, and Tim English, he needs a little bit more of a gentle approach. So, you know, hopefully you can reward us next week.
Speaking of knowing your players, you know your big boys, mate. You may suck, but one thing you're not sucking at is your big boys.
Well,
this
my
year.
Number ones can be hit and miss. But after the number one pick,
we got your backup plan covered.
We got the backup plan. So as long as you got a red dot, and I've got plenty of those right now, you get two cracks at these, and so far they've been hitting. Port Adelaide, Connor Rozee, massive first half, 70 points in the first half. Your dad tried to send a little moz at halftime. I was watching this game going, oh my God, he's killing it. No one say anything. No one tweet anything. No one text anything.
Oh.
And your dad, look, to his credit, he was telling us to not say anything, but by doing so, it was a little bit of a moz. So he slowed down a little bit in that second half. Still, obviously, got the 50-point second half.
Yeah.
And was absolutely dominant.
Not many people had Rozee and their big boys this week. So that was, you stuck to your guns and you were getting some pressure on the live show. Hey, what about McRae? What about Dawson? You said, no, I'm stick to my guns. And it proved well because Dawson's the flog in this game. In a game where a lot of people were expecting him to stand up in a big game in the showdown. He didn't really. And
yeah,
score,
well, what were the stats before? Like, you know, in showdowns, he'd gone 100, 130s.
But you stuck to that Port Adelaide being a tough matchup, and in this case, you were rewarded. I think he scored like 78 points. But
he was getting tagged.
He did it on tackles, which, I mean...
The Berg, actually. He played the cooler role.
Yeah, nice. I like that. And he actually scored well himself, if I'm not mistaken.
He did okay.
But yeah, Dawson saved it with tackles, but hey, not what we want. Not what we want.
Yeah, not what we want. Well, for some of us, it is what we want, but for others, not so. Richmond versus West Coast, the back and forward classic that they called it in the commentary team.
Down in history.
Down in history. So Richmond gets the W, best on ground. You've gotten Tom Brown here because I imagine there's not too much fantasy things going on.
No,
but
it was a pretty boring game to do in the write-up. But Tom Brown, he missed a body spoil centre field on an inside 45 kick that he should have absolutely killed with... Mate, less than a minute to go, and West Coast were off like a prom dress, up the guts, looking like they were going to kick inside 50.
Yeah.
And Tom Brown...
Yeah, he had the little legs ticking over.
Snuck up on him like a little ninja and holding the ball, won us the game.
He did say in the press conference afterwards that like he had to do it, otherwise he was going to cop shit in the film room.
And
he
fucking would have. It was an easy spoil. He should have killed it.
Yeah, so...
Ryan Marriage is the flog.
This is just selfish on your part.
And that's what this podcast is about. It's about unashamed selfishness.
He's been great.
And this, we're going to talk
even
about
that,
this.
I think he had like two tackles in the last like 30 seconds as well, just to get that score up.
It's fucking disgusting. And we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but I think you and I might have a blind spot.
Yeah, I think this year it's definitely come back to hit me.
We'll talk about that in a sec. But this next game, you were hitting sixes, to borrow a phrase from the Calvinator.
Yeah, well, look, if this game didn't happen... I might not have showed up today because I wore the donut in the previous game. Well, the flog, I'm surprised the flog in that game wasn't, you know, Jaden Short pushing through a little bit of knee soreness.
He's got an injury,
a little bit of knee soreness, West Coast. He just thought he'd kick his feet up.
He pulled up short in the warm-up, so you wouldn't
classic.
Want him to.
Yeah. But yeah, so that meant I had zero on my field, but Tom Green and Max Holmes did their best to salvage the situation. Tom Green, I've had on my trade targets for, I want to say, 5 or 6 weeks now, and he's finally put together a ceiling score. I traded him in round 4 and have been recommending him ever since, and since that 121 has not cracked a 110, but looked awesome in this game. Kicked an absolutely unbelievable goal from 50 meters right up on the boundary. So he was excellent, and Max Holmes had a massive fourth quarter to come home, had a 50-point fourth quarter to bring home the final part of the game to get his 118.
It's just sinking in that you outscored me by 50 points with a donut this
70.
Week. 70. 70 points, was it?
70.
Oh, he's done the math, guys. So he got his first week in a while, so he's done the math on it. The flog in this game is Bailey Smith for not cashing in.
Whoa. This is the first time we've ever had a sponge and a flog in the same week.
I was tracking the score. I think it was at the park or something. Pushing the old swing on the fantasy scores. Yeah. And Bailey Smith, in 15 minutes of game time, had not scored many points at the start. And I think his first quarter, he only scored like
17 in the first 17 quarter.
17 points. So he effectively could have scored 200, so Bailey Smith, you got for the flog.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, he went 17, then 55, 34, 43. So, yeah, he's basically had 120 in three-quarter time, and, yeah, that's a 17. So, yeah, that's interesting. Obviously, he is still a gun, though. The final game, the draw.
Did you watch?
I did not watch.
This is the last thing that I wanted to see.
Yeah, it was
just about 10 fantasy players that I don't have killing my rank.
Yeah, because you had no one in this game except for Sheasel, am I right?
I started this game ranked like 200 and then finished 800 points points behind my initial rank at 600.
Yeah, 800 ranks, yeah. Yeah, so the bog on this one, best on ground, Dane Azorko, he had a massive game, 39 touches, 137 points. Look, I find it hard to predict what he's going to do because last week he scraped his way to that 100 with a dirty last couple of minutes and then goes big in this one here. So, yeah, a bit of unpredictable Zork, but obviously great for owners. Flog on this one. We're going to talk about it a bit later.
Yeah, we are. Caleb Daniels not getting it done. He started the year well, but
Speaking of coming up short, it's a different kind.
He might even find his way to the chopping block this week.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. Let's go to our strategy chat. And you want to talk about mid-prices. And I think you alluded to it earlier. But you think we might have a bit of a blind spot in this area of the game.
Yeah, we were talking about this midway through the weekend and just trying to take some early learnings from the season. Because
obviously, I haven't had a great season.
Yeah, and I've had a bad week. But I think we have this blind spot. And of course, you know, you and I talk to each other. Is that bit of that echo chamber effect? But it's just mid-prices. Like, I think Bonner last year, I think guys like, obviously, I mean, Bowie to start the year was more of a starting pick. But I think, you know, Fletcher, I think Marich, I think you don't own Long. Do we have a blind spot? And in a year where the rookies have been injured or they've been dropped or they've been vested or they just haven't been there, you can't, am I right in saying maybe we can't afford to have that blind spot to mid prices?
Yeah. It's tough because I try and preach what I've done before that it's been successful.
Yeah.
And even in seasons where players like someone like the Bonner comes out and does what he does, I've missed players like that and gone for these underpriced premiums and tried to skip that extra trade, and it's worked for me. So it's a hard thing to say that, okay, is the philosophy, does that need tweaking, or is it just the fact that I've misread certain players this year? Like, I even just, while we were talking about this, like, went back to look at Joel Frazier. And when I traded him out, since then, he's gone 96, 84, 85, 93. And so that was a trade that I went into, but then ejected early. So I've effectively...
is that like you normally do?
Well, I've effectively had him for 73, 63, 44, 61. Every other game where I haven't had him, he's not dropped below 80 points. His worst score was 84. So perhaps a bit of patience on the mid prices, perhaps a bit more faith in them in terms of trading into them is needed. I'm not 100% sure how much to move my needle in terms of changing my philosophy, because the trade, you talk about the trade-in targets for all our Patreon members, like I feel like they have been good trade-in targets. It's the downgrades that have really hurt me this season, the rookies and those sort of types that have been a bit of a bust. And maybe that's just this year. I don't know.
It's tough because for every example that I just used there of probably a flourishing mid-pricer, you can probably return serve with a mid-pricer that you could have got on that's flopped. Like I think obviously Huswaite was a name that people had getting around for a couple of weeks.
And they do eventually flop. I mean, look at like Ned Long's been a great player. He flops this weekend and now it's like, okay, do you trade him now? So you have that extra question that maybe if you cashed out of a more expensive rookie and went up to a Tom Green instead or something like that, maybe you obviously wouldn't have that question mark. So it is hard to tell, but I do agree that maybe the trend is that I probably do have a blind spot there. And then subsequently you, because all we do is talk to each other.
Yeah. I think we need to be more open to it. I mean, potentially the ship has sailed this year, but just because of the phase of the season that we're in and the fact that a lot of these mid-prices that have changed roles have now gotten very expensive.
I mean, I don't mind a mid-price play over the buy rounds. You've just got a bit more flexibility with more trades.
We'll probably talk about a couple of mid-prices in our trade targets in a little bit, but you wanted to talk buy rounds for this strategy.
Yeah, I did, because it's coming up close. We're coming up to round 10. We've got round 10, round 11, and then the buys are here. Yep. And I wanted to do a little exercise just for yours and my team.
Star jumps, push-ups.
Yeah, burpees, all the above. Superset and AMRAP, basically.
Who's rapping?
AMRAP.
You want me to rap?
As many reps as possible.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
A little bit of EP lingo. A
bit of an exercise guy. I haven't seen you get off the couch.
Mate, I get off the couch repeatedly and then sit back down.
To go to the fridge.
But let's talk about how we're set up for the buys, because I myself, just more so because of red dots, am probably in a tough spot. But round 12, I want you to tell me not how many players you have on round 12, but how many players do you expect to be playing in round 12?
Okay,
So that means that we're eliminating all the red dots, the players you don't expect to be there. So for example, like a Bus or a Hasty, like those. These guys, they don't count, even though
Bus
obviously
is on 12 anyway. All right, well, I'll count them up and look down the barrel and say, you guys count at home as well. And then smile.
You guys can do this exercise at home.
Smile like a children's entertainer.
All right, while you're doing that, I'll do mine as well. But I imagine I'm going to be below 18 at this stage.
Okay, guys, just wait 10 seconds of dead air while we do some counting.
Dude, we should do this beforehand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
oh, you're
going
to count out loud.
11,
fuck me up. Okay, you count first because I can't
12,
count while you're counting.
13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. I've got 19, basically, if I don't do any trades at this stage, without the ability to get more than 20, because I don't have any rucks on round 12. That's better than I thought, to be honest. How many do you have?
19.
There you go.
19.
And so, does that include some really dirty rooks? Because in my 19, I'm counting players like Hugh Boxall, Cleary, Corey Warner in there as well. So
I don't have dirty rooks, Matt.
I probably have about rooks. 16 decent players.
Well, the rookies I'm counting there are Max Hall, Lawler, and Warner.
Yeah.
So one dirty, two serviceable.
Some of them that have potential to hit a couple of 60s, 70s, 80s potentially. So yeah, interesting exercise. That's how I would prefer to go and do the buy round planning is actually, and it's a little different to how other people do it, counting on how many players you expect to actually play versus counting how many are on the buy, because then you're also just forced to go, okay, of those players, who are the ones that are my premiums? Who are the ones that I actually expect to score well and count to my 18? Now, you might not get 18 premiums, but maybe you can get close to 16 or 17, and then that final rookie spot can be a bit of a lottery. You know, every now and again, you might get Zach Reed 118 or Jackson Pryor 115.
Zach Reed's a primo defender.
Yeah, he wasn't in my three sketchy ones. He was a premium on field, basically. So I should have maybe counted Caleb Sarong as one of those sketchy ones too. But I think it's definitely, I mean, it's been the last couple of weeks. We should have been doing it, but also if you haven't done so already, need to be considering those buy rounds. And especially if you are like me, collecting a few of these red dots, I imagine in round 12, that will be something that I'll be doing in terms of fixing up some of those red dots and getting some more rookies on field so they can cover me through the buys. But I'm just going to try and limp my way to there until then.
Yep, fair to say.
Should we start chopping some players?
Let's chop up, mate.
Let's chop.
Let me see if I can find a bit of chopping music. Everybody was kung fu fighting. You went early, mate.
Shit.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano, or pick up bass guitar, or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
I was trying to time it in my head.
Very early.
I thought you were trying to play me. All right, there's a couple of players here. Normally, we're getting rookies off field.
Okay.
I think we might be getting to the time where some of these rookies could outlast some of these poor-performing mid-prices and premiums. Because they still, players like Zach Reed, players like Levi Ashcroft, these guys are still making cash. They're still putting up decent scores. It's going to be easier to get premiums in if we just hold them for another couple of weeks and fix up some of these dud players. So there's quite a few here, and it's going to be, for a lot of teams, my team included, a case of prioritizing who has to go first. Clayton Oliver. What the fuck?
Oh, my. Oh, my goodness.
Why? Okay. Is this something that we expect to continue for him in terms of a role? Is it as simple as he had a change in role, he scored horribly? What 40 points, Luke, is disgusting for a rookie.
Yeah, I think he was the lowest scoring Melbourne player outside of subs. Is that right?
Oh, it doesn't sound wrong. But he is still, despite that score, he is still averaging 90 on the season.
This is a one week thing.
It didn't work. They lost. Although there was a lot of people applauding his efforts on the weekend, which for the life of me, I can't understand why.
I think so. It was Newcomb that he was tagging. Am I right? I didn't watch this game, but he held Newcomb to 19 touches, which I think is all right.
They could have said they held Clayton Oliver to 13 touches. That's the weird. You know what I mean?
Like, that's the weird part about
what
it.
What are we doing? This is not. Who was the
He's so far.
Who was the Freo guy that tagged? Wags. This isn't like Corey Wagner holding Nick Daicos to, like, this is Clayton Oliver tagging.
But the way I think Clayton Oliver is looking and operating now, and even leading up to that, he wasn't in the best of form. Going to the coach, it's either completely selfless and he's like, I want to tag, or he was worried about not holding his spot in the team and he's given them a role that he can do. So,
I mean, there was no Viney. Is potentially Viney coming back a good thing for him?
Well, based on the fact that Viney has been doing a similar role, perhaps that is something helpful, and Oliver just sort of saw that as a 1 week thing.
Because if they're going to tag, they're going to do it next week, like Brisbane. Like, it's okay, go to Lachie Neal.
Yeah,
but that doesn't even strike me as an Oliver matchup. That to me is like a Viney matchup, just like shorter, quicker player.
I think so. Let's talk about the next guy on the list, Caleb Daniel. I think Caleb Daniel is a bigger priority.
I would agree. I think he's a higher priority to trade out because we've seen multiple weeks of this. I thought it couldn't get, like, you'd sort of go, okay, yeah, lower score of 75 against Port Adelaide, tough matchup. Okay, Sheasel. 57 in a game where they drew with the reigning premiers is not a good sign to me. They have Richmond this week. So do you just hold for the matchup and then he's 1 week closer to his bye, which is in 2 weeks, and you trade him then? Like, what?
This is a good point. I mean, Sheasel going back has to be influencing the
it
amount of
It seems like
free
a
ball.
Clear correlation with his poor scores.
It feels that way. But then when you say Richmond matchup, then you kind of go, okay, well, is that just fraught with danger where you go, oh, well, this guy's on the way down, but you end up missing maybe the one ceiling score that he is going to produce and you trade him next week. Yeah, this will be interesting. I think the other thing that's going to play a role here in who we chop is how much money we need to get where we want to go on the other end as well.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I'm finding that most of the rookies...
Yeah, of these like guys, he's probably the cheapest and has the least amount of money on their heads. Like Oliver's 70K more. We're going to talk about Jaden Short. He's 65K more. Even someone like an Adam Chera who had a down game, he's like 100K more.
Yeah, I think that's the trouble as well, because I don't know about you, but I'm finding it difficult to find two rookies outside of guys that I want to keep. Let's call it a Reed, let's call it an Ashcroft. I'm struggling to find two rookies that I can do one up, one down with and get to a decent player.
Yeah.
So that's where I think these guys come into the frame, your Daniels, your Shorts.
Yeah, and that's why I think this week I am going to start ticking those players off. I definitely would be holding Levi Ashcroft and Zach Reed at this stage. And effectively, if they're your last two rookies on field... that's a pretty nice spot to be in. And maybe if you've still got a Luke Traynor, I might even keep him over some of these other guys as well. I'd be happy to do that. It is a tough call to make with some of these guys because as we've seen with some of these mid-prices, like I highlighted with my Joel Frazier example before, like they're good players. You know, Jaden Short is another one we're going to speak about. His is probably health determined. Is it as simple for him... He's there. You hold him. If he's out, you trade.
For Shorty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I reckon I'll be holding if he plays.
Do we want to have, because they play again, I think, on the Sunday, 110 on the Sunday. Do we absolutely want to have
that
a defender
especially,
emergency?
I mean, we don't have any cover on that line. I mean,
it's a tough line to cover because the bus is someone we all traded into, or a lot of us traded into recently, got done dirty by his coach. Yep. Lewis Hayes just did his ACL, so people who had him as cover last week won't have him for cover this next week.
Finn O'Sullivan's the biggest red dot, green dot you've ever seen.
He might as well, at least he's a heartbeat. I know I've got Angus Hasty. Some people might still have Leek there, who was never someone they could fix up. O'Connell for the Saints is there, but he's kind of in that Finn O'Sullivan camp. So it's pretty dire in terms of defender rookies at the moment. Some people might have had Connor Stone move back there in DPP. He's a red dot. So there really isn't much option when it comes to defender cover, which is concerning.
I might say is that if Jack Sinclair is going to be a target this week, potentially, he doesn't play until after, does that make a difference in terms of... Oh, it's more who you're trading out, doesn't it? You need them to not be locked out just yet.
So. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can start to utilize your utility. You might want to, you know... I know, for example, I've got a Max Holmes sitting in my midfield, so I can move him back to defense this week.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that last week because the game was so late, and so I couldn't save my red dot, but it might affect your ability to do some of those movements because, yeah, again, if you've got like an Angus Hasty or someone like that, you might be able to, you know, with a bit of loop action, move and shuffle after the fact if you know that there's a laid out for short.
Yeah.
But yeah, an interesting one there. What about some other players like Ned Long and an Adam Chera who...
Look, Chera got
talk to me about Chera because you have him and...
I got both of them. So Chera got moved to defense. There was an injury to... was it Lockie Cowan?
That sounds familiar.
So he played in defense, I think it was for at least half the game. I am really hopeful that...
McGovern got injured? He was subbed out.
I'm really
Cowan was also out. So they had two defender injuries.
So I'm really hopeful that Carlton sort that at the selection table this week and don't then just put Chera in a half-back role. Or that if Chera has to be in a half-back role, he's more well-prepared to play it this week and then can get involved in some of
had
that
two kick-ins.
Half-back distribution. So I think
it was a good matchup for him to be in the defender role against Saints.
Yeah, but it didn't prove to be scoring-wise. Ned Long to me is interesting. I think that Ned Long is still a little bit underpriced. I mean, his break-even's now gone up a little bit, but maybe the role that he was playing with Pendlebury and like a Dugowie in the side was a little bit better for him. Can I be selfish here and ask about Mateus Philippou? I acknowledged off the top, well, I'm a fucking idiot. Like, like blind Freddy could have seen exactly what happened.
Oh, this is a really
and
tough one.
The minute that it started happening, I was sitting there going, Luke, you fucking clown.
Like, yeah.
This... All I had
this
to
is,
do was
this
just...
This is the tough position. I mean,
all
look,
I had to do
what
was
I will
just think about it.
Is he plays West Coast this week.
It do
so even in a forward role, he could be solid, and then that gives you another week. I am confident that at some point this season, he's going to be back into the midfield.
Fuck, I hope
and
it's
he's going to be
week.
A top three CBA player. I don't think it's going to be this week.
I think it's well off. And if St Kilda, I mean, St Kilda...
It might be post-bye kind of a situation or just slowly building up until then.
It's horrendous. I don't know what I've done to myself. But the thing is, I mean, he scored 73 on the weekend.
Yeah.
He did that with a 40-point second quarter.
Kicked two goals.
So... Can you imagine what the fuck that looks like if he doesn't... If he's,
yeah, I mean, he had 12 touches. Like, this could be a Clayton Oliver performance.
It could be fucking horrific. And I've got him, Long, and Chera all sitting in my midfield at the moment.
Yeah.
Fucking
I think
Cleary in my forward.
I think West Coast matchup saves him. Hopefully, he's slowly... Or more quickly, hopefully. But I think he could slowly increase in CBAs. He's definitely not a trade target after what we've seen.
Horrible.
Yeah. Probably illustrates the risk of going on these guys sight unseen with that type of uncertainty. Any other players that you want to talk about as trade out targets? Are we those of us who held Tom De Koning? I mean, he did well. 104, my spicy take was he was going to outscore Tristan Sherry. Didn't quite get there, but what was he? 8 points off? 12 points off? Which I'm going to call a pass. He does have a slightly tougher matchup in Sydney this week, but then next week plays GWS, who are one of the green matchups for Ruckman. So I'm pretty happy to hold him to my bye. Those other names we spoke about before, I'd go before him.
If Rowan Marshall is back...
It is great value, isn't it?
You pay $20,000 assigned to go from TDK to Marshall, and you did say, obviously... You obviously said TDK does have a slightly better little run coming into the bye, but... Rowan Marshall goes West Coast. He then does go the Wits matchup, followed by Gorn into the bye.
Yeah.
So could you potentially say, oh, look, even if Rowan Marshall goes big this week, he's not really going to get away from us in cash because he's got two tough ones leading into his bye, and then you just pick him up off the bye?
Yeah.
Just
you
hope.
Could definitely do it. The thing is with picking him up off the bye is you're almost going to have to wait till after all the buys are done because if you're holding like a Tim English and a Tonda Coding or a Tristan Sherry and a Tonda Coding or even a Max, because you're not going to trade Max at his buy. Like, you're not going to have a ruck really that you're going to want to trade out at their buy from rounds 14, 15, 16. Like, unless maybe you've got Briggs or someone. And if you do, I don't know if I could last that long. What did he score on the weekend? 63 in a juicy Geelong matchup. So he's a sinking ship or a sunken ship. So there's no real ruck that I think you can capitalize on that with the buy strategy. So it kind of does feel like you want to go there now. And if your team was looking good, I still think it's a great play because I have more confidence in Roel Marshall now.
Yeah.
With an amazing matchup, he more than likely will probably be a top five captain option this week. Could you, instead of doing that, do something like a Clayton Oliver to a Jack Sinclair who has the same matchup? That to me feels like a bigger upgrade.
What about, I mean, so TDK goes into his bye, and then after his bye has Essendon and West Coast, two good matchups, before he goes into North, which is a tough matchup. That same week that he goes to North, no, that doesn't line up either. I think that's literally when Gawn has his bye.
Yeah, Gawn has his bye. Who does Roe Marshall have?
Roma that week has
Collingwood.
Collingwood,
Freo, Hawthorn the next few. So he has a decent run after that. Maybe you could. It would depend on how heavy you are on those round 15 and 16 by players.
It's a long way to move some of those guys.
Yeah, it is a tough one to plan out. But yeah, so okay, well let's rank. Give me an answer right here as we sit right now. If you could get the same player. Try and put the 70K difference out of the window. If you get the same player, who are you trading out first? Caleb Daniel or Clayton Oliver? Caleb Daniel has Richmond this week.
Yeah.
Clayton Oliver has Brisbane this week. Who are you trading out first?
Man. I feel like I'm probably trading out Caleb Daniel, but Caleb Daniel for me, even if he goes well against Richmond, does that then force you to hold another week because you've just seen a good score, or are you willing to trade?
He's then going to be one round away from his bye round.
So you would just hold one more week. So if
maybe.
So if you trade Clary, you're committing to at least two more weeks probably of Caleb Daniel and then trade him in his bye. Can you stomach two more weeks of him if you don't trade him? And then what does Clary have? His bye is a little bit later, is it?
His bye is around 15, I think, which is...
So what? How many good games does he have between...
I mean, his games like Brisbane, Sydney, St Kilda...
They're not great games.
Not great games. Collingwood, Port, they're actually pretty tough games now. Like they've just been through their purple patch for Melbourne.
So maybe I change my answer then and I say, I trade Clayton Oliver because Caleb Daniel has more of a finite end date, which is his bye.
Yeah.
And one of the two matchups between then... is Richmond. So maybe you trade Clayton Oliver.
Clayton Oliver's breaking. It was 134. Caleb Daniels is 112 against Richmond.
Okay, I'm going to change my answer. I think I'm
Oliver before Daniel, which sounds disgusting. If you had cash banked in, like if you carried a bit of cash this round and you could do a Caleb Daniel to a Warner and then an Oliver to a Sinclair or something like that, like that to me is... really, like those would be great trades.
None of Clayton Oliver's game between now and his bye are good matchups. They're all either neutral or more difficult matchups. And yeah, I think I have changed my mind because Caleb Daniel, you get the Richmond matchup, even if it goes tits up next week, it's like, okay, it's his bye, fuck off.
Yeah.
Whereas Clayton Oliver, let's say he starts going poorly, then some other things pop up. Oh, do I have to keep him? He's got poor matchups.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning that way as well. But well, I want to keep my ear close to the ground and listen out for role for Clayton. And if it was a one time thing, if that's why he scored, like I was watching that game very closely, stabbing myself in the foot while I did it. Well, that's what it felt like anyway. He was still leading. He was still looking for it. He was trying to get that kick on the inside 45 and they weren't interested in looking at him at all. They just kept going around the outside. Bowie just was the link up play. It was all those halfbacks just doing their thing, never once looking inside. And so then the ball, when they did kick it long down the line, he was nowhere near it. And he just was, completely lost. He only had four tackles as well. So remember Viney the week before or a couple weeks ago, he had like 15 tackles in that role. Oliver had four. The week before he had 6, 7, 9. Playing his normal role. So, yeah, it was truly a mystery, and I wonder if it's more to it than just the role and if that week off or whatever he's going through mentally is maybe also contributing. I'm sure it actually is.
Let's go trade targets. All right. Anyone you got your eye on?
I have someone who I'm really keen on. I've sort of forecast this move. I think that Jack Sinclair is a prime target this week. We talked about the Saints having the West Coast matchup. Jack Sinclair is gone down a fair bit in price. He is now priced at 95. And he is someone that I think in these kind of gravy matchups, we saw what he did against Richmond in round three. In these kind of gravy matchups, I think he can put up a big score. And
he's only turned up three times this year.
He has, but I think he's going to put on a stretch of game. It feels like he does this most years. It feels like he does this and around this time of year gets cheap, and then the second half of the year goes whack. Optus Stadium, Marvel Stadium, TIO, which might not 100% suit him, but it is against Melbourne, and that's a great matchup for halfbacks. But then Marvel, Optus, Marvel, GMHBA, Marvel.
Is that TIO after the bye. Alice or?
Oh, yeah, that is Alice. Sorry, I was thinking Darwin.
So Alice is a little more friendly in terms
Alice
of...
Alice is a wide ground as well.
In terms of the moist meter. Kicked five at Alice one time.
Yeah, and after his bye, listen, like Marvel, Optus, Marvel, GMHBA, Marvel, MCG, Marvel, NG Stadium. Like that's the Saints run. Sounds every like, year it seems to happen that way.
Sounds like fucking Avengers. Marvel everywhere.
So I reckon he's gonna go big from here. He's priced lower than his average so far this season, because of his last several games, and I think he's a prime target this week. He does have a 122 break even, but I say he hits that this week against the West Coast Eagles. As for other defender options, Max Holmes, is he back? Is it safe for me to recommend him again?
One word.
Because he is priced at 92, and I think he can be better than that. Obviously, he showed that on the weekend.
He played midfield on the weekend, didn't he? I saw CBAs were up.
Yeah, I think he played a little bit of halfback maybe at the beginning of the game, but then moved into the midfield as things went on. The big last quarter kind of saved it a little bit. Is that something we're a little bit concerned about? The other thing I will say is that he did look a lot better than he did the previous couple of weeks, just in terms of his running capability. Just seemed to be covering the ground a fair bit better. He does have Port Adelaide this week.
Yeah, I'm now just looking at the breakdown of his score as well. You would have been worried at three-quarter time.
I was.
So they've got to score their points in one of the quarters, but it's just when it happens in the fourth quarter,
yeah,
it's
it does
a bit
feel
shaky.
A bit like could have kind of dodged a big one there. I think I'm definitely Sinclair over him. The other thing that is in his favour, he has a round 16 bye. And I don't think many teams out there have some round 16 bye players in their side. The next guy, if we move to the midfield, Tom Green, I still think is in a decent price bracket. And he is a round 16 bye midfielder. And he is coming up against Fremantle this week, Carlton, Richmond, his next three. So
what is his price tag?
He is priced at 105.5. What do you think he can average? He's currently averaging 106.3.
I think it's probably fair price, to be honest. I don't see the 110 necessarily, but you're right in saying he hasn't been poor since you traded him in. He's just been kind of consistently 95 to 105. This one's the first ceiling score we've seen. And it was in a milestone match, I think, as well.
It was. It was his 100th game.
Yeah. Yep. So as long as he plays his 100th game every week, he should be sweet.
Yeah, I think, well, 101 is like...
That's the new 100.
That's better than 100, so...
It's one better, in fact.
It is. So I think you should just view it that way and just keep going. Since I traded him in, he's averaged 109.
And that's not bad.
That coincided with sort of a bit of an increase in time on ground. I think he can be close to that 110. So it's a little bit of value. Again, a week where I don't love the midfield trading options. It feels like the midfield, we haven't had some good targets since Nick Dacos was sort of prime price point.
What's Noah Anderson doing? Because he's the next name we've got here on the list. Yeah. We expected him to go well, obviously, in the conditions up in Darwin. It sometimes does make it hard.
Yeah, I've sort of flagged him as a guy that I am keen on. I'm watching his price. I sort of had sort of penciled him down as maybe a target for next week because his break-even is still 127 against the Hawks. It's a tough-ish matchup.
He had one tackle on the weekend.
Is Nash still suspended? He is, isn't he? Then you could go this week, I think. He is now priced at $952,000, so about priced at a 96, 97. I think there's a world that from this point on, he could put 5 to 10 points on top of that. He's a guy that plays high time on ground, high CBAs, which is rarer and rarer these days. A lot of midfields are spreading it out a bit more, whereas the Suns still play that really tight midfielder, and he is the accumulator in that team.
I probably like this next one a little bit better in Jack Steele. Jack Steele's had a couple of games now where he's been back to what we typically see. And Jack Steele is coming into a run of decent matchups. At the moment, inside midfielders don't really have any like aggressively green matchups. But the next three games is about as good as it gets for St Kilda, West Coast, Gold Coast and Melbourne before their bye. I like this pick because Jack Steele is very cheap at the moment.
He is. He's Noah Anderson price level. Like he's 7K cheaper than Noah Anderson and his break even is lower. So you could go Steele this week, Anderson the week after if you're looking for back-to-back mids. Round 13 bye, which could be nice.
You mentioned this on the last week, I think. Round 13 bye, yes, but there are a lot of good players on the bye. St Kilda have players that we like, of course.
Wang, and Sinclair, Philippou, if you want to get wild.
Yeah, McRae. throw the Freo boys in there.
Yeah, you got Brayshaw. If you're stupid like me, you got Sarong. Rowan Marshall in your ruck, potentially. So, yeah, there's quite a few.
Yeah. But I think I almost prefer Jack Steele over Noah Anderson this week.
Yeah, I think you're probably going to be happy with Steele's score this week. And if that's how you judge a trade in terms of that first week reward, then go Jack Steele. I think Noah Anderson's going to score more, average more for the rest of the year would be my call. Because he had 9 tackles on the weekend and he still didn't get 110. I don't think Jack Steele's going back to that 110 ceiling player. Guy. I don't think that's happening. I think he maybe is more of 100 to 105.
What are your thoughts on Isaac Heaney as a midfield option?
He's unders, but I just don't know how much. They were so disappointing on the weekend. Like, so disappointing.
His game script basically followed Chad Warner's, so it was almost identical. They both were poor in the first quarter because Swans were just so horrible. I think they gave away 5 50-meter penalties in the first quarter.
Oh, the coach is pulling his hair out. He had 9 points at quarter time, then 24, 25, 24.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you take out that first quarter and you give him 20 points each, suddenly you're looking at the game a little bit differently.
Yeah, they both
score a low ton and you think, oh, okay, yeah, that's the start of the good run and things are looking up.
I think my expectations in the midfield are just a bit higher.
Yeah, that's why Chad Warner, I think, is a better of the two options.
Yeah. As a forward. So while I can say that I think his value, he might just be that step away from the premium mids that makes him not worth the amount of value he is. But the Swans could turn around. I really didn't like what I saw from them in the weekend. I thought this was the game where they could get back on track and beat a beatable team. And they just looked horrible. And I'm not sure that's going to turn around. And sometimes their solution to that is putting him forward.
Yeah.
Which I think they did do for a little bit. And I'm not sure I love that. So what did he have? Yeah. I mean, he did have... behind Warner, the second highest CBAs in the team still. I think he is going to average more than what he's done so far. He's averaged 85 for the year. I think he's more 95 to 100.
Yeah.
Which gives him maybe 10 points of value, but it's still a step behind those premium mids.
Rowan Marshall's the only name we've got here in the rocks. We gave it to me a time before. Yeah.
Is he back? Did you watch any of this game?
I did not.
I'll have to go back and watch a bit of it because... And if you are a Rowan Marshall owner or you did watch this game, let us know in the comment section, how did he look to the eye? Because I've been going off some feedback and people who have traded him in, and I might talk to my guy Holmesy because I know he traded him in the week before, and he was saying that he didn't look like he could jump. 8 marks is positive. 89% time on ground is positive. To me, the numbers are suggesting that he is getting back to his best. So it's just whether or not that matches up with the eye test. And again, it's sort of who you're trading him to. If you could do a TDK to him and an Oliver to someone else and do both those trades, I'd feel good. If it was my only upgrade for the week, I don't think I'd feel too great about it.
In that forward line... Chad Warner, is he still a guy that we can get?
Yeah, like I said, for Heaney, I've got a longer leash for forwards, and I think if he goes, and I'm not expecting him to be a 100-plus guy. I think he's more of a mid-90s guy. And so a mid-90s player is going to drop a few mid-80s scores from time to time.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get some 100s, you're going to get some 80s, you're going to get some 90s. So I think his score there is not as concerning to me as Heaney, where I just have a higher bar. Carlton, Melbourne, Adelaide, Richmond is a decent run. Round 14, we don't have many of those forwards. In fact, I think he's the only round 14 premium mid, I would say. If I'm looking at some other players in terms of their average, let's look at these guys. So Nick Martin, he's round 16, round 12 for Kennedy. Yeah, I think he's the only round 14 premium mid that I'd be confident rolling with. So to me, that ticks a few boxes as well.
I got to go back a little bit to midfielders. Nathan O'Driscoll was a maybe, I think, to play for Fremantle last week. Didn't happen. But if he does come back in this week, he's priced similar to what I paid for Philippou last week. Is, with Hayden Young out, he comes back into that team. He was already scoring well, but I think it only elevates his status in the team. And is he... This is our blind spot, remember, because this is a guy that we would now consider like a mid-pricer. This is not the time of year to trade them in. If you had some cash pocketed and you could, through DPP, do Caleb Daniel down to Nathan O'Driscoll and then somebody like a short up to a Sinclair, is that a good trade this week?
I don't love it. I mean...
So you don't love it's, Caleb Daniel to Nathan O'Driscoll. Surely you love that.
Especially it's just the role. It's the role that gets me. So if he was playing off half back or playing an inside mid position, so think of the successful mid pricer so far this year, Ryan Marich.
Nathan O'Driscoll was a successful mid pricer until he got injured.
But he was a 400k mid pricer. He was an elevated rookie price. It's a different price bracket. So Ryan Marich, half back, takes kick ins, gets a lot of the cheap ball. Ned Long, top three or four CBA attendee in a really good side. Who are some other good mid price picks?
Look at his average before he gets injured.
Oh, he was going solidly. Just again, you're trading into a bit of unknown there. How much? You know, we talk about the marks for Brayshaw and Sarong. I know he's playing a different role, and he probably is in a better role to get those marks, but still.
Yeah, the rookies have just been so bad that
Port playing GWS, then Port Adelaide.
Yeah, it's tough.
In 2 weeks.
Unless you're Bailey Smith,
yeah. Okay. So I'm hesitant to jump straight back into that one.
Fair enough.
As far as mid prices go.
Lots of water to go under the bridge. Let's wrap this puppy up.
Yeah, that'll do for us today, guys. So yeah, lots to think about this week, and I think it's going to be a week where we're waiting on a bit of news for some of those guys. Keeping my ear close to the ground. Gold Coast versus Hawthorn this week on the Thursday. So hopefully that means there's not too many relevant trade in or trade out targets for Thursday night. So we can get the full teams list, get the Sunday squads trimmed, and be able to make some good decisions. And hopefully we can continue to get some more rookie debutants because we are going to need them for our buy rounds. Make sure you guys give this video a big old thumbs up, like, and subscribe to anywhere you get your podcasts. And if you want more detailed analysis and advice, head over to patreon.com/ballboys. And we'll see you guys for the Friday live show, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Bye!
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.